Welcome. This short talk will also be a kind of introduction for the lectures by Natasha Illich, Alexander Keith, and Claire Davis as well. The exhibition as a medium. Exhibitions shape objects and themes they present, as well as the viewer. During the Cold War, exhibitions were also part of cultural diplomacy. The Congress for Cultural Freedom, the CCF, organized several exhibitions, which I will share with you in this short talk, but also I will show you the critical reception and the emergence of a kind of anti-imperialist models of exhibitions. The first exhibition that we found in our research that I have done here together with my colleagues Ansel Franke, Nida Guz, and Antonia Mashaka is the exhibition Masterpieces of 20 Centuries, 1952. As you see, the exhibition took place in two locations, in Paris, in the Musée d'Art Moderne, and in Tate, in London. We were very happy when we found a film of the exhibition that would allow us to enter in the medium of the exhibition to see the relation among objects, what are the operations, what is happening, that are the questions that lead us when we want to interrogate the exhibition as a medium, what is getting transformed, what are the performances. But we were a bit disappointed since the film focus at that time, the sensibility of the medium of exhibition, you could see, was not so developed. So the film footage mainly focused on the canvas by Picasso, by Leger, even not the complete canvas, by details, Duchamp. Anyway, this will help me to introduce you the canon of modern art that the masterpieces of 20th century rehabilitated in 1952. Fortunately, it is around 3 seconds of the complete film where you could see the relations, the space, the viewer, and in one installation shot also the view of Mondrian. We have tried to find the history of exhibitions beyond the storytelling, beyond the description of single artworks, but interrogating the context, the infrastructures, and this kind of global enterprise that the CCF implemented somehow allow us to deal with bigger frameworks and different questions. Therefore, we privilege also somehow a method that we called among us the unpacking of exhibitions, a kind of deconstructions, where we could see also the importance of the press releases, things that we do also by assuming that is a natural practice. We also want to interrogate these documents as a project based on the research. Here we could see in this excerpt, the purpose of the exhibition is to bring into focus the richness of over half century contribution to Western culture. And here I will answer the question of yesterday, if the Congress for Cultural Freedom, the CCF, was only rehabilitating modernism, addressing a canon of the past, or if what was their contribution to the present and to the future generations in the realm of exhibition making. So here, a contribution which we believe would not have been possible except in the climate of freedom. So here is somehow the slogan that the CCF was promoting, in which the great artists, composers, and writers of our time have worked. So the exhibition, as you read in this excerpt, the art exhibit will consist of 120 to 150 paintings and sculptures now being collected in Europe and America from public and private collections. Particular consideration will be given to paintings which have not been seen in Europe for the past 20 or 30 years. Although this exhibition, the Masterpieces of 20 Centuries, is little known, we consider this one of the secret paths of the CCF, perhaps due to the disclosure in 1967, when it was published in many newspapers that the CCF was receiving finances by the CCF, all his legacy became a kind of taboo. Nevertheless, the masterpieces of 20th century that rehabilitated the narrative of modern art, remember that during the National Socialism, modern art was considered Bolshevik, un-German, childish, crazy, and of course, degenerate art, as the exhibition 1937 was entitled, Entartete Kunst. And the masterpieces of 20th century was prior, 3 years before Documenta. We see even the same Mondrian, Henk, in Documenta first, 1955. But the CCF, the acronym we will follow, did not only use exhibitions as an operation, we could say, to rehabilitate the past modern avant-garde, as was the question of yesterday. They also developed a new genre of exhibition that they call the Young Painters Exhibitions. This is the first example that was a traveling exhibition in Rome, in Brussels, and in Paris. And here we see the Junge Maler der Gegenwart, the young painters of the present. It was very striking when we find all these installation shots in the Chicago Library in a folder without title, without year, and we have to research what was this exhibition that contained a historical section with didactic panels. Natasha Illich also will develop a lecture dedicated on the didactic exhibition. And here we could see how the modern avant-garde are displayed in these historical panels together with quotes by several authors, but also you might recognize in the middle, the abstract expressionism by Jackson Pollock. So somehow we see how this US chapter of art history is inscribed in this broader tradition of modern art. Skip one. And how the young generations then were presented in the next section also logically were seen as extensions developing the tradition that was presented in the historical part. So there could be an answer of the question of yesterday, if they only dedicated their program to rehabilitate, to tell the story in a different way of modernism, we would see how the story would change the values from degenerate, as I said, childish, un-German, Bolshevik, into the symbols of individualism, internationalism, and universalism as well. And of course, freedom. In this exhibition, for example, I have a quote to share with you. Herbert Read, a very well-known art historian at the time, states, "The style in which this art is painted is no longer distinctively French." Here comes the international display of the exhibition. "It is international." And he continues, "Anyone aware of the typical manifestations of the post-war generation in all countries represented in this exhibition must admit this new style has spread everywhere like a forest fire." So we see that in the selection of artworks and in the categories, in the criteria of display, they were not anymore by nation divided, but they were as international section. This allow a Japanese artist, we would see also that exhibited in CCF exhibitions in Japan, to be next to Yves Klein. That would have been impossible if they would have applied the previous criteria of the schools, the French school, for example. Here we see the exhibition Antagonism, that in fact was an iteration of the previous Young Painters of Vienna. Here the exhibition was arranged by themes, and although the title is very interesting, it's Antagonisms, and here is one important point to focus. It was not about political antagonisms. As Herbert Read also expand there in the catalog, it meant to describe the internal antagonisms, the unconscious antagonism and interrogations of the artist. Let's see the quote. "The struggle is spiritual and not political, and the rivalries are individual and not national." So here comes the definition that MoMA also will promote of a modern art mainly apolitical. We will see how even artworks like Motherwell, that were dedicated to the Civil War, will be described as in the paradigm of formalism, in the diagram of Alfred Barr. For Read, the essence of art on display consisted in the unconscious exploration of free expression, but the free expression of the individual. Contemporary painting is authentic insofar as the painter discovers this free form. Today, we're quite sure, based on research on modern psychologists, that this form must be discovered in the very spirit of the artist. One reviewer noted ironically, anyway, in a newspaper in France, these young painters have claimed total liberty, and here they are dangerously limited to themselves. So somehow this freedom was too individual for this review, with a limit. And I want to share with you how this new kind of new genre of young artists, they were under 35, continue to be promoted by the CCF also in Japan. Here we have the crest clipping of one of the first young Asian art exhibition. And also continue with the program in Chile, in Santiago, where I was born. La Sala Libertad, Freedom Gallery, founded in 1958. It's interesting that the program was based mainly on abstract artists, influenced from informalism from Spain. You see here the first, El Segundo Salón de Arte Abstracto, the second Salon of Abstract Art. And what is very interesting, that many communist artists at that time that had to intertwine many of the stories, Pablo Neruda had organized a boat called the Winnipeg to invite many dissidents of Franco to come to Chile. In this boat came José Balmes and Gracia Barrios, that became very influential in the art scene, and they brought also the influence of later of informalism. They came in the 30s. And Balmes, that was a fervent communist, also participated in Freedom Gallery without knowing, of course, that it was backed up by CIA money. And here to reinforce what we discussed yesterday with the technical assistant of the Modern Museum of American Art in Berlin. Here I would like to follow this debate. I would wish that the debate would be even stronger among these two figures, between the diagram by Alfred Barr that we know was published in 1937 and the critique of Meyer Shapiro telling how this historiography of Barr and subsequently of MoMA and many of the Museum of Modern Art that were founded after the model of MoMA is an art history that is intrinsically formalistic, does not include the context. Let's evoke Meyer Shapiro, that from the readings I have done, everybody described him as the best rhetoric and speaker of the time. So I wish we could once find the film of Shapiro, but let's try. Although Barr sets out to describe rather than to defend or criticize abstract art, he seems to accept its theories on their face value in his historical exposition and in certain random judgments. In places, he speaks of this art as independent of historical conditions, as realizing the underlying order of nature, and as an art of pure form without content. And remember here also Greenberg, definition of the American type painting, as he called it. It's a painting without subject matter. It's a painting about painting, a flat, the brush stroke, etc. And when Barr described what is this new American painting, he also says, it's the size, it's the scale, is the lack of center. So it's a formalist description. And he explicitly will tell in some of the catalogs of the traveling exhibitions, these artists, including Marwell, they are not politically engaged. So let's continue with Meyer Shapiro. Hence, if the book is largely an account of historical movements, you see the diagram, Barr's conception of abstract art remains essentially unhistorical. He excludes as irrelevant to its history the nature of the society in which it arose, except as an incidental, distracting, or accelerating atmospheric factor. The history of modern art is presented as an internal, immanent process among the artists. Abstract art arises because, as the author says, presentational art has been exhausted. So figuration has been exhausted. At the end of the 60s, so after almost two decades of programs of traveling exhibitions, and after many, 3 decades after Alfred Barr diagram. The program of international exchanges arrived in India, Tokyo, and Australia with this exhibition, 2 decades of American painting, with very nationalistic cover. And Greenberg accompanied the exhibition to India and offered a seminar and exchange with the art scene. Greenberg, that was part of the American Committee for Cultural Freedom, was in exchange with the CCF member in the American, from the American wing, wrote a report that is unpublished that we found in the Smithsonian, and with this quote that you see. Artists all over the non-communist world are avant-garde today, especially those in the generation under 40. So somehow for him, it was this universal language of abstraction rhymes at the end of the 60s. And to finish shortly with the more or less, we could present the alternative models. Later on, so after the disclosure, but also in the specific context of Chile, we could see also other exhibitions that raise and they address the context, the social conditions of possibility, and explicitly political. I wanted to compare, so the Cold War does not get the story dominated by the narrative of the CCF or MoMA, but to also to differentiate and see also hegemonical projects like Venice Biennale in 1974 that you see was dedicated to the anti-fascist cause, especially against the dictatorship in Chile. And here is a tent that Guillermo Núñez is an artist in the exhibition. I was in his studio last week. This is a portrait he did. We have other portraits in black and white. After he presented an exhibition in 74 during the dictatorship, it was censored. And he had to go, so he was taken from the house and was tortured in prison for several months. And he participated then into this exhibition, sending an idea of a tent. He could not attend because he was in prison. And his collaborators developed a collective practice that they signed as the Brigades, Las Brigadas Artísticas, realizing more than 8 murals in different spots in Venice. At that time, Roberto Mata also participated, and here he wrote in this mural, Ángel atacado por los United Snakes of America. So how Latin America was attacked by the United Snakes. And to finish, also to see how abstraction, abstract expressionism, was not implemented or assumed in every scene, or was not rejected just because of coming from US, we could see how the Nicaraguan artist, Armando Morales, somehow break this assumption of abstract expressionism as apolitical. And with the title, you could see how he's honoring a revolutionary, and somehow he's skipping the apolitical definition of MoMA International Program of Abstract Expressionism and coming to the root of the very practice of the artist Motherwell that dedicated all this series, as I said before, to the Civil War. And to finish, also Fidel Castro, although he was, of course, associated with the Soviet Union program, political, economically, and cultural, abstract expressionist artists had supported him against Batista, the dictatorship that was before the revolution. So for him were his allies. So he promoted many exhibitions of abstract expressionism that I had to find the images. And he stayed one day grateful to this group. Our enemies are capitalist and imperialist, not abstract art. Thank you.